Welcome to this Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to our special Walnut Wednesday report, we'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news here on the show today. And I'll start things off with a look at regional agricultural news right after this.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
The USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service in California is making federal funding available to assist California's agricultural producers transition to organic production. Through the new Organic Transition Initiative, NRCS California is accepting applications until June 15th from interested landowners for eligible conservation practices. Eligible practices in California includes conservation planning, crop rotation, cover crops, nutrient management, and field borders. Interested landowners should speak to their local NRCS service center. NRCS staff will first start by creating a free conservation plan with the landowner to assess what conservation practices are best applied for organic transition. Applications for funding assistance will be later screened and ranked after June 15th to determine which projects have the highest conservation benefits. Those approved will be provided cost share assistance. Nationally, NRCS is dedicating $70 million to assist producers with a national organic management standard under the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. Fresno State's Jordan College of Agricultural Sciences and Technology will receive $2.2 million from the United States Department of Agriculture to take on a leadership role in the new Southwest USDA Regional Food Business Center that will help small and medium-sized farmers and food producers integrate with larger regional food supply chains. The regional center is part of a $35 million cooperative agreement led by University of California Agriculture and Natural Resources that will offer added assistance in California, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, and Colonias communities with inadequate infrastructure along the rural U.S.-Mexican border. The Jordan College joins 16 organizations and 38 collaborators from four states coming together to enhance and expand business support services to food and farm businesses. The Department of Agricultural Business at Fresno State will work to expand connections with underrepresented minority growers, service providers, and businesses to leverage resources and expand opportunities for growth and economic stability. The Department of Industrial Technology at Fresno State will help small and medium food businesses leverage technology to improve efficiencies, develop new products and packaging, increase traceability, and ensure customer satisfaction. The Southwest USDA Regional Food Business Center will then add expertise from the university's Water, Energy, and Technology Center, which provides vital resources and support to local food entrepreneurs, farmers, and innovators, driving economic growth and sustainability in the region. The Southwest USDA Regional Food Center is one of 12 centers recently unveiled by the USDA as part of a $420 million initiative to help the economy avoid an over-reliance on national-scale businesses across the nation. Encouraging smaller regional food suppliers could help to alleviate food distribution vulnerabilities that were exposed during the COVID-19 pandemic when certain companies shut down temporarily. Early signs on the upcoming California grape season show that it is tracking later than normal. Typically, they'd pack their first flame seedless grapes the first week of July, and right now they're about 2 to 3 weeks delayed in cultural practices. If they get some warmer weather, that should move earlier, but they definitely do not expect to be on time or early this year, according to Scott Reed with Pandahl Brothers. The grape season looks to start later due to colder temperatures seen in California during the growing season this year. In terms of volume, though, the crop size is anticipated to be smaller than last year. Of course, they have a lot of weather to go between now and when they start picking the first week of July. The weather could thin the crop out, or it may not, he says. For Pandahl Brothers, it's seen increased volumes on three of its newer varieties, Sugar Crunch, Sweet Globe, in green seedless, and in red seedless Allison Season grapes. These are larger, firmer, sweeter berry varieties, and those are the main three things they look for in new grape varieties, and they're excited to have more volume on those, he says. The California season will follow the Mexican season, which is getting ready to start and is about 10 days delayed. Going from Mexico to California with both regions delayed, the key thing is what type of weather they will have in late June for their transition, according to Reed, noting the season should go until December. If the weather is reasonable and they don't have rain, rain and high heat, then they can continue picking grapes into July. If they have weather towards the end of June, that could affect the transition with the delays. He says they really need to see how the weather plays out at the end of Mexico to know what the transition will be like. As for demand, it continues to look good on grapes. He says grapes are a top category in a produce area, and retailers are looking for excellent quality and excellent condition grapes, and hopefully they can deliver on that. He says costs have increased, so they are asking retailers to help out with pricing this year. They have to get some level of sustainable prices in the industry, and he says hopefully they can get there over the next couple of years. Produce safety research doesn't have to be complicated. Center for Produce Safety's 2023 Research Symposium will focus on making its research learnings relatable to industry when the event convenes June 21st and 22nd at Atlanta's Buckhead neighborhood. Center for Produce Safety is about fueling change. The mission statement ends intentionally with those two words, according to CPS Board Chair Joe Panzini, who is Taylor Farms' Senior Director of Agricultural Operations. Each year, the knowledge transfer needed to fuel that change begins with a research symposium. Day one of this year's in-person symposium will begin with a Research 101 general session to teach even the least sciencey attendees how to analyze and apply CPS research findings like a pro. A blue ribbon panel of researchers and industry produce safety leaders will explain in lay terms how to evaluate CPS research reports, then decide what learnings might apply to real-world businesses. Attendees will take away easy-to-follow how-tos. The research code-breaking session will prepare attendees to evaluate the science reports that will follow over the event's 2 days, 14 finished projects and 26 ongoing ones. That will include findings from CPS's latest rapid response research project on the potential food safety issues presented by flooding. Final research reports will be followed by breakout sessions to help attendees understand and apply what they've learned to their operations. Attendees will learn how to apply learnings involving other commodities or regions and how to benefit from research findings even when additional study may be needed. Day two will open with an exploratory panel discussion called Using the Lessons from the Past to Create a Better Produce Safety Future. Panelists will include food safety attorney Bill Marler, SmartWash Solutions, Jim Brenneman, and McIntyre Produce's Alexia Bellius. Each day will conclude with a wrap-up of the day's learnings led by an influential moderator. For more information and to register for this year's event, go to centerforproducesafety.org. Limoneria Company has announced it has entered into an exclusive licensing relationship with Appeal Sciences. Limoneria will protect lemons across the supply chain with Appeal's coating technology. This non-GMO edible plant-based coating maintains moisture for longer and reduces oxidation, preventing spoilage throughout the supply chain. For lemons, this means they stay juicy and retain their bright yellow color for longer. As Appeal's first fully integrated lemon supplier in the U.S., Limoneria will significantly expand the availability of Appeal protected lemons domestically and internationally through Limoneria affiliated packing facilities and through licensing management. In product trials conducted by Limoneria, Appeal protected lemons demonstrated a difference in quality compared to other coatings. Appeal protected lemons exhibited reduced water loss, shrivel, and color changing or bronzing, including when tested in ambient conditions. This validates that Appeal's technology allows citrus to retain its quality for longer, regardless of how they are stored or merchandised.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. Agroplante. Imagination, innovation, science in action.
Today is National Walnut Day, which just happens to fall on this week's Walnut Wednesday episode. Senior Director of National Marketing Jennifer Olmsted explained how California Walnuts is taking advantage of this year's holiday to connect with consumers and broaden walnuts' horizons.
National Walnut Day was actually started back in 1949 by what was then known as the Walnut Marketing Board. And it was signed into law in 1958 by President Eisenhower. But it's always been a day and a moment to really put a spotlight on California walnuts. and get consumers interested in using them at a time of year when maybe they're not thinking about them as much as they would be during the holidays when they use them more traditionally. So it's a really great opportunity for us to reach out to the media, to talk to consumers, to talk to retailers, and get them all interested in California walnuts.
On the topic of walnut consumption, there's been a recent focus in the national and international food market toward alternative meats, and walnuts have gained a spot.
There's been a lot of buzz around plant-forward eating, people wanting to bring more plants into their diet, be more healthful. But also right now, what we're seeing is a little bit of this swing where people were originally just, purchasing some of these new plant-based options to replace their burgers. They're now looking for alternatives that have ingredients they can pronounce, very clean labels. So it's a really opportune time for California Walnuts to be talking about it. And the great part is that it's so simple for anyone to make at home. But not only that, but walnuts in this walnut meat application, you can use it with all sorts of global flavors. So you can take it from Italian to Mexican to Indian to Asian flavors. So it really has a lot of versatility. And we've been taking this moment to really feature it with the consumer. So one of the things that we're doing is working with some of the top food influencers. And a lot of food trends are born, through Instagram, through TikTok. And those next generation of walnut consumers, that's really where they're looking for their food inspiration. So we recently had Feel Good Foodie. She's one of the top food influencers. She has nearly 2 million followers on TikTok. She has 4 million followers on Instagram. And she just created a stuffed pasta chip. So kind of her new and novel take on using walnuts, where she's creating this Italian flavored walnut meat, putting it in between two shell-shaped pasta noodles, air frying it. So it's a finger food that you can then dip in your favorite sauce, like a red sauce or even a walnut pesto. So she's getting a lot of attention from that and things like that, that consumers may not have seen before, but doesn't take very much effort to put together. Really creates a lot of interest. And so we are also, going to be sharing that broadly, but also sharing those unique and novel ideas with the media.
Consuming walnuts in an alternative meat form might seem different than consumption in its raw nut form, but Olmsted said consumers are still receiving all of the health benefits that make walnuts special.
In the basic sense, you're taking a walnut and you're pulsing it, usually with like a bean or, it could even be mushrooms or cauliflower. So you're blending it with another product. You're not removing anything from the walnut. So you're retaining those wonderful plant-based omega-3s, which really is a nutrient for walnuts. But I think the other thing that make this such a great fit for walnuts is the mouthfeel and the texture they have really kind of mimics what you would expect from a ground meat product. So it's still very satisfying.
In terms of other ways, California Walnuts is keeping the tree nut top of mind for consumers. The organization is also revamping its retail program.
A lot of what we do at California Walnuts is inspiring consumers by showing them how and why they should use walnuts. But we want to take that to the next step where they're seeing walnuts in the grocery store and being inspired at the point of purchase to take them home in their cart. So we are working to revive some of the programming that we had to cut over the past 2 years. And you'll start to see some programs rolling out over the course of the next few months and then really expanding into next year in particular. So just to give you an example of one of the programs that we have coming up in May, we have partnered with Natural Delights Dates and Bel Gioioso Cheese. So really putting these 3 complementary products together, sharing recipe inspiration. We're merchandising the products together at the retailers throughout the nation that have decided to bring in the program. And it's just another simple, easy way that we can get consumers to add walnuts to their cart.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
Senators Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin and Jim Risch of Idaho have led a bipartisan group in calling out the administration's draft guidance on labeling non-dairy product imitators. The Biden administration's guidance allows non-dairy product to use dairy names like milk when labeling their products. The Food and Drug Administration contradicted its own regulations by releasing guidance that would allow plant-based foods to continue using dairy terms despite not containing dairy or having the nutritional value of dairy products. The inaction by FDA harms public health as a result of consumer misperception over dairy products' inherent nutritional value, according to the senators. As a result, it's imperative that FDA enforce existing standards of identity for dairy in both current and future guidance. The two senators have led the charge to crack down on imitation products using dairy's names. They authored the bipartisan legislation called the Dairy Pride Act to combat the unfair labeling practice. What is the status of proposals for changes in federal milk marketing orders? USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
The latest status on proposed changes to federal milk marketing orders? The Agriculture Secretary has requested additional information on proposals from 2 dairy entities and is reviewing the proposal submitted by the National Milk Producers Federation. Agricultural Marketing Service Associate Administrator Melissa Bailey says this is part of the rulemaking process associated with any changes to the marketing orders.
Once a formal proposal is received, the Secretary of Agriculture has 30 days to do one of 3 things. He or she can accept the proposal as presented and begin the rulemaking process by issuing what we call an action plan, or request additional information to consider whether to initiate rulemaking or deny the request. And if denied, the secretary may delay consideration of any proposal containing a change to make allowances for up to 90 days.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
A group of taxpayer, agriculture, and environmental organizations held a press conference to urge congressional leadership to reject attempts to increase reference prices for cover commodities. The National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition was one of the groups who opposed raising the price loss coverage reference prices in a 2023 farm bill at a time when gross farm income is higher than ever. Taxpayer commodity program subsidies were designed as a safety net tool triggered when necessary to help protect against unpredictable losses that are a part of farming, according to Billy Hackett, NSAC policy specialist. He says it's not an annual entitlement program for the country's most successful farms. 10% of the farms get 70% of the subsidies, and throwing money at an unsustainable system is no solution. Top House and Senate Ag leaders met with President Joe Biden and Secretary Tom Vilsack at the White House on the future of the Farm Bill recently. In a rare session, it raises big questions about prospects for the bill this year. The meeting with the president is almost unheard of for farm bills. It was held with little public fanfare, but the fact that such a rare meeting even occurred raises big questions on the farm bill's fate amid the debt limit standoff and a charged partisan fight over expanding SNAP work requirements. Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow on the debt ceiling issue at a recent farm bill hearing.
I have serious concerns about the potential of default that's hanging over our heads. I was here in 2011, first chairing the Agriculture Committee, when there were calls to cut spending in exchange for avoiding default. And ultimately, that ended up in across-the-board cuts to a variety of mandatory programs, including ARC and PLC.
The Ag committees have yet to start writing a new farm bill, lacking top-line numbers amid the debt limit budget standoff. Clean Fuels Alliance America joined 4 other trade associations in sending a letter to the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Regan regarding biofuel volumes in a renewable fuel standard. They want the EPA chief to substantially raise the biomass-based diesel and overall advanced biofuel volumes in the RFS for 2023 to 2025. The letter highlights the need for strong RFS volumes to support the goals of the National Blueprint for Transportation Decarbonization. The industries need these fuels to decarbonize air transport, long-haul shipping and trucking, home heating, and to meet the needs of their customers and supply chain partners, according to the letter. The proposed RFS volumes are simply inconsistent with the investments their industries will make to continue expanding production and commercial availability of these fuels by 2025. The groups also say in the letter that their industries continue to make significant investments in producing, distributing, and using low-carbon fuels, but more can be done.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.